Now, the pattern of land ownership in Britain is changing. The defining survey more than a century ago reflected a system led by the church and various aristocratic families. Well, today the list is topped by the Forestry Commission, the National Trust, the Ministry of Defence and pension funds. So how has this shift in ownership taken place? Let's speak now to Mark Hedges, who's the editor of Country Life, which commissioned the survey. We'll also be speaking to the land rights campaigner and author Andy Whiteman. Mark, first of all, just talk us through the main changes we've seen over the last 100 years.
Well, I mean, the biggest change, as you highlighted, is that the church has gone from owning in excess of 2 million acres to really just around 100,000 acres. It's quite hard to get the exact figures. What has happened, the great change has been that a number of corporate bodies now own huge amounts of Britain. So the pension funds, the National Trust for Scotland, the National Trust in England, the Ministry of Defence and the Forestry Commission. Now, what the difference of this means is that this land is sort of tied up in corporate management rather than by individuals as it was once before. And, you know, this will actually have an effect because many of the decisions that will be made about the land are going to be made by committees, people who actually sort of, in terms of pensions, perhaps living in New York or whatever, who won't have a direct involvement with the land.
Landowners, though, have long been criticised for not managing their properties properly, particularly with regard to the people who depend on them. So is this really much worse, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think anyone who's in charge of anything tends to get criticised. I mean, I think there are good landowners and appalling landowners. And I don't think you can generalise in one way. I think most of the poor landowners are no longer landowners. It is like any business that if you're not very good at it, you tend to go out of business of doing it. I think it would be fair to say that, as a generalisation, most of the individual landowners care about the place and look after it quite well now. What I think is different is when it's, say, owned by a pension fund, they are going to be only interested in making as much money from that piece of land as they possibly can.
And so it will be a short-term gain, obviously, if they're thinking of selling it. They're not there for hundreds of years, is what you're referring to.
Well, I'm saying that they're going to look at it on a different way. So, you know, there's obviously attractions, for instance, of perhaps putting up lots of wind farms on some land, which is obviously a controversial subject from both sides, whereas a landowner who's grown up for generations may be more attached to the beauty of the place, for instance.
OK, well, thank you very much for that, Mark Hedges there, the editor of Country Life. I mentioned that we'll be speaking to the land rights campaigner and author Andy Whiteman. Hello, Andy.
Hello there.
What do you think, then, of this change in who owns Britain?
Well, it's not really very surprising. I mean, we're talking about a change that's taken place over 150 years. I think actually what's surprising over that period is how much has stayed the same, in fact. I mean, we still have a situation, particularly in Scotland, where 85% of the land is still in private hands and where 1,000 people still own 2/3 of it. And as for the idea that these aristocratic landowners care about the place, I mean, only today we've had the news that the Duke of Roxburgh has got approval for a huge wind farm on his land, which will earn him about £2.5 million a year. He already gets, you know, millions of pounds in taxpayers' money and public grants. His land has tripled in value over the past 30 years. And, you know, the situation still is that a lot of land is still controlled by a very, very tiny number of people.
Do you think it's better then to have pension funds controlling it than the likes of, well, you mentioned the Duke of Roxburgh?
Well, I certainly think it's better that the, you know, pension funds would could gain in terms of the wealth that's available from land than private landowners. Yes, I mean, particularly when you consider that, for example, the Duke of Roxburgh, you know, some of his land is held in the Bahamas. So far better that British taxpayers and British pension funds, British pensioners who've got their money invested in pension funds, gain some of this benefit. And also the biggest change, of course, in Scotland has been the huge increase in community ownership in Scotland over the last 20 years. And that doesn't come out of this survey.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to mention that, just how much of Scotland does the community, if you like, now own? It's still got to be fairly insignificant, even though we've seen some very high profile buyouts.
Well, they own, community owners control, own now 425,000 acres of land. That's over 2% of the country. And together with the heritage bodies, the National Trust, the RSPB, people like that, it's 5% of the country they now own. And that's the biggest change over the last 10, 20 years.
Presumably, though, if we want to see that expanding to any great degree, they're going to have to make the land pay for them.
Well, yes, and that's not terribly difficult. I mean, we've seen how much money you can earn from wind farms. The big issue here is that over the decades, a small number of people have become incredibly rich. And we see today in the time of cuts when a family on benefits is being capped at £26,000 for a family. And yet you've got 30 families in Scotland who are getting over £1 million each in public subsidy through agricultural support. So there's huge equity issues over land ownership. And certainly when communities get their hands on land like they do in countries like Norway, they can begin to earn substantial sums of money.
OK, Andy Whiteman, thank you very much indeed. And Andy Whiteman's book is The Poor Had No Lawyers, Who Owns Scotland and How They Got It.
Do get in touch if you have a view on that or anything else. It's 80295 80295 from your phone, or email us. It's newsdrive@bbc.co.uk.